Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. This week, I am joined by Louise Grossart, Ladybird publisher, to discuss how we can use books to help our babies to develop. If you are anything like me, then supporting your little people to meet milestones and to learn to communicate and enjoy the surrounding world is a priority. And maybe you even spend as much time as me researching how to achieve this. This week's guest has got an amazing solution for us, and it lies in the pages of the often underestimated world of books. Welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast. We are the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code podcast15. Welcome, Louise, and thanks so much for coming on to join me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk to you about books and reading for babies. It's so brilliant.
I feel like you've got one of the best jobs in the world. It sounds like it'd be so much fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. There's lots of meetings and emails as well. But yeah, we do have a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, and actually probably shape so many of our children's childhood experiences, that realizing, because books play such a big role in it, don't they, I think?
Yes, definitely. And actually, what's been the joy of kind of working in the industry so long is that we're working on books that, you know, even I had as a child as well. And we're kind of expanding on those kind of big brands and things. So it is a real joy and a kind of part of the industry that just keeps on giving, really.
Oh, I love it. It's brilliant. So we're going to delve straight in because I could talk to you about this all day long. When should we start reading to our babies?
So you can start reading to babies at any point, so even from the minute they're born, if you really feel like it in the moment. But
if you can stay awake long enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe not right then, but even from, you know, the first few days, actually books are so accessible and lovely for a parent and child to connect, even an adult and child. You know, it doesn't have to be the parent necessarily. They're a lovely moment to sort of have a cuddle and kind of really experience the book together, even if it's just your voice. You know, when they're super tiny that they can't, you know, they can't see necessarily that far, but hearing your voice, the rhythm of the words, nursery rhymes and songs, it's just so nice to have that moment of connection. And then actually as the child gets older, you can kind of work with different books, have books with flaps and mechanisms and things that move and touch and feel elements as they get a little bit bigger. And then obviously as they get older and older, there are books for every age and stage of children. And we want the books to kind of grow with them. So there's plenty out there to choose from.
Yeah, kind of wherever you are, I suppose, there is a book for you. Mm-hmm. And why is it important or perhaps recommended, Louise, that we do start trying to read as early as possible and as early as we can to our children?
I think with reading, there's not actually any kind of bad elements. I think there's so much joy that I think the nicest thing about it is that connection to begin with. So it's a kind of quieter time in the day, potentially, not that with toddlers or anybody who ever have that much of a quiet time, but there is a nice moment of connection where they might sit on your lap and you can look at the book together. So you can, the first thing is, talking about the images and the words together. So there's lots of like development there with language, the visual kind of development, learning to recognize items on the page, so much connection with kind of stories and rhyme and that kind of pattern of speaking and the development of language and rhyme and that sort of side of things. Plus there's also the sensory elements to the books themselves as well. So, you know, turning a page, books with flaps and mechanisms and touch and feel, they could, there's so much more for that, for the children to explore. And then when the children get older, there's you know, topics that can be explored in books that, you know, potentially could be quite difficult to talk one-on-one about, but if you're viewing a kind of, as a reader, watching something happen in the book together, you can kind of talk about what's going on. So for books, yeah, there's generally not really a bad thing you get out of it. It's just kind of how much and what you can share.
Yeah, definitely. And I think certainly I felt as a new mum, I was a bit like, what do I do with the baby? You know, you feed it, you change it, it sleeps, and then in between, what do you actually do? And reading is a really nice thing to fill that bit of limbo time with until they can actively engage with you, and knowing that actually they are benefiting developmentally is really lovely. And it sets a routine, doesn't it? Like, we love stories in our house and acting them out and singing them along and you have so much fun, especially when the weather is like it has been this August, and it's a bit more difficult to get outside. Actually, books can provide such entertainment and fun and imagination, can't
they? Definitely, yeah. And I think there's some nice, you know, there's nice things. If kids love a character on TV, there's usually books to go along with that. If you don't really know where to start, what, you know, what books to try, there's like libraries. So, you know, even if we're in a cost of living crisis, there are ways to access books for free, and there's like usually lovely events and libraries as well. So there's lots of ways to access them.
Yeah, which is so important, isn't it? Because we know that they are great for our babies' learning and development, and, you know, toddlers and young children too. What are some of the developmental benefits, Louise, that we know about for books and early reading?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So there's definitely lots around that development of language, and just kind of the kind of connection with words and how, you know, children pointing at things and recognizing things about their daily lives within the books. There's also, yeah, as I say, the kind of motor skills element of some of the kind of more kind of tactile books. So being able to lift the flaps, turn the page, there's kind of, you know, sometimes they chew on a corner of a book, you know, this is kind of that kind of development of the physical use of a book too. Yes.
And in my house at the moment as well, a lot of ripping the flaps.
Oh,
the
yes.
As well, which is ever frustrating. Half of our books are now full of sellotape.
Yeah.
Which is a sign of having a toddler, I think. I keep, yes, keep I presenting think so. Me with pages of books and I'm like, and where's the rest of it?
Which one did it come from?
Yeah. Ever frustrating. But hey, we roll with it, don't we?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
And one of the things that we're definitely doing at the moment, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this, but how we can kind of use books to meet the milestones and perhaps assist behaviours that we're trying to encourage, be that going to sleep at bedtime or going to the potty or using kind hands and sharing and those kind of key things that we try and instill, that if we just sit down with a baby and we're like, you must share that toy, is all a little bit boring for them. But kind of, I guess, bringing books into that play and imagination and encouraging it in that way, is that something that you encourage parents to use books for as well?
Definitely. And actually, yeah, you touched on a really good point. Another developmental thing is the imaginative and the, you know, imaginative play around books too. Sorry, I forgot that one from the earlier point. But yeah, I think there's so many ways you can use books and for your kind of to benefit your life as a parent too. You know, as I think I mentioned before, but like you can use it to introduce, use books to introduce any topic really. So, and actually just seeing that you know, even things like going to dentists, going to doctors, there are books kind of to showing a child in the pictures or an animal, or whatever, going through that. And it's just a way of introducing a new topic or a new place that you might be going to, you know, holiday, airplane, that kind of thing. You can, there's books on all of those things. Plus any kind of things like going to bed, there's definitely tons of books with there. So watching, you know, the readers, so the adult and the child looking at this page together, it kind of takes away that kind of any kind of effect on the child actually doing it themselves. So you're kind of seeing it as neutral parties, as it were, what's going on to the character, and that you can see what they're doing. You know, you can ask questions. So, you know, why do you think Jack the monster is angry in this picture? Or like, oh, Twinkles were cuddled up at the end of the day, ready for bed. You know, you can use those cues from the book to kind of talk about what's going on for that character, and then it takes all the pressure off the sort of child, I suppose, child, as it were. Yeah, so you get to introduce nice. The ideas of things, and then you can kind of refer back to them in a useful way.
There's definitely a lot of let's do this like Peppa Pig does in our house at the moment.
Lovely.
For sure. And actually, we've got this bedtime book that I bought when we were going on holiday, because I was conscious there was going to be a change in routine.
Yes.
And I really like it when my toddler sleeps at night. It makes us all happier. So I was up for trying anything that may encourage that whilst away. And we bought this countdown to sleep book. So the book, we've got one about Peppa Pig, because that is a firm fave, one about dragons. Yep. And they count down from 10 to 1, essentially at 1. You're asleep and the dragon's asleep, or Peppa Pig.
Oh yeah, 10 minutes
whatever.
To bed. Yes. That's one of ours. So, yeah,
maybe it's dinosaur. Not
yeah,
dragon,
10 minutes
it?
Bed, little dinosaur. That's one
that's
of ours.
That's it. 10 minutes. Oh, I didn't even know. This is
oh,
fun.
Amazing.
Not
thank you.
Stunt.
That's one of our favourite series. Yeah, we're doing
brilliant.
That's, yeah, really good. And actually,
so
again,
good.
It's setting up. There's 10 books in that series now. So even if you get bored of that particular one, there is another character
another
that can
one.
Go to bed at the end. So,
nice.
You know, it's useful in many ways in that you can watch someone else go to bed on another night. So I really like that. And also that's a nice thing as well. Like that it's called 10 minutes to bed. So as a parent, you know, it's not going to be a long read. You're not going to be sitting there for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And actually it's quite fun and quick, and it keeps the kid engaged as well. So everyone kind of benefits from that, I think.
Yeah, and definitely. And it instills part of that routine. And we are up for making everything in parenting as easy as possible.
Yes,
so, you know,
agreed.
Certainly with my little boy, he needs to know that actually once we get to this part, we're going to bed. And quite often once we get to zero, he then likes to just have a quick flick through the book, and that's fine.
Yes. Does he like looking at the maps as well?
Yeah, likes looking at the maps. And sometimes he even goes in his cot still looking at it. And then eventually he lobs it out. And goes to sleep, and then I go and retrieve it. And actually I bought that book for one of my friend's little boys who's just turned one as part of his first birthday present, and she's found it's been really effective actually.
Oh, brilliant. I'm so pleased.
Well. So it makes our lives easier.
It does. And actually we've got a couple of potty titles which might be helpful for anyone kind of going through potty training at the moment. Things like we've developed with Amanda Jenner, who's a potty expert as well. So it's potty time going, taking you through like what happens when you're potty training and things like that. So books are so helpful for introducing that idea of what might happen, and then kind of being able to talk about it and hopefully instilling like a routine, like you say.
Yeah. And I think sometimes with little people, we kind of read it the first time and maybe kind of no impact, but it's that repetition and consistency,
definitely.
Isn't it? That actually maybe by like, you know, it might take 15 nights, you know, and by the 15th time that you read the book, actually they've got it and they're like, oh,
yeah.
This is what happened. And it's that repetition, isn't it? And consistency that has a great
And definitely
impact.
As publishers, we want to make the stories as easy to read as possible for parents. We know how tired and like tough it is being parent at the end of the day. You know, you want just something easy and lovely to read. So, and the bouncy rhyme of the 10 minutes to bed books, for example, is so nice to read. And so everyone gets a lot out of it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it is really nice. And who doesn't love a little dinosaur?
Oh, it's so cute. Rumble.
Rumble. Little Rumble, the dinosaur. Oh my gosh, I bet you know the book back, you know, cover to cover. How much then should we read to children? I think it's something we hear a lot in terms of bedtime routine, don't we? And like calming down. But surely we can also use them for really awake, exciting times as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just as much as you feel able. I'm personally not a fan of like putting a kind of time limit on it, because I think as parents we have enough to do and enough to remember. So I suppose it's just more a reminder that you can use books as an activity or to support whatever you're doing. So whether that's having a quiet minute in the day, you know, with overexcited toddler just needs a bit of a calm moment, that's a lovely time to kind of sit and look at a book together. Whether it's bedtime, that's obviously a really nice way to kind of bath, book and bed, that kind of routine, that's really lovely. So I would just say as much as you feel able to, and even if you're as again, as we're very all tired as parents, so, you know, just flicking through the pictures, get your child to tell you about the story, you know, just looking at something together, that's still reading in a way, because you're still kind of engaging with the story. So it doesn't always have to be that you're going to like read the whole book from start to finish. You know, your toddler might just flick through the pages and that's also fine. Like, you know, just engaging with the books and sitting together. Sometimes it will be a story time. Sometimes it might just be pointing at the pictures. You know, it's just kind of sharing that time together and books being part of your day, really. Yeah. It's just added nice moments.
Memories, isn't it? And sometimes we'll just point out to, like, on every page, can you find the duck on that page?
Yes.
And point out the ducks, and can you count how many of monkeys are on that page or whatever? And one of the things that we've been doing recently is having like a little theme for the morning. So we might have a theme of cows, for example. We might go and try and see some cows in the village we live, and then we might use our cow puppet and then point out all the cows in the book and little things like that, as again a way of kind of getting the books out. And engaging with them in lots of different ways, which is so brilliant, isn't it? And you really start to see the clogs turning in your little one's brain, however old they might be, in different ways.
Yeah.
And that, for as a parent, is really rewarding, isn't it? To feel like you're actively helping them.
And my daughter's really obsessed with them. Well, she just absolutely loves nursery rhymes at the minute, just anything song related, and just, so she'll just sit and bop. So she'll just carry, she brings over a nursery book, because she's realised she can basically turn any adult or older kid into like a human jukebox, and they'll just sing if she gives her the book.
I love it.
She loves that.
That is the power. And actually, sometimes singing books is great fun as well, isn't it? Even if they're not designed to be, you know, quite often they've got a rhyme and a rhythm and they do work as a song, which is brilliant.
There's also actually, on nursery rhymes as well, like there's so much content online on YouTube videos. You know, if you don't feel confident singing or reading, there is like audiobooks and other ways of having that content, but you could also have the book with you to sort of show what's happening on the page while they're listening. So there's like lots of ways to kind of engage with it, which doesn't mean that you actually have to do the singing or reading as well.
Yeah, that's true, especially if the energy levels are a little bit lacking that day. That's brilliant. Now let's think about the youngest babies.
Yes.
How would you recommend parents engage even the tiniest babies in books? Is there a particular type of book that you'd recommend?
Yeah, so from like probably from like 0 to 3 months, obviously we know in general that they can mainly see in black and white at that age. So there are lots of baby books, Baby Touch are some of the ones that Ladybird do, for example, that have just the black and white kind of very simple print. There's just like one thing on each page, but that contrast will be really strong for the baby at that age. So black and white is a really nice way of doing to kind of open up that, you know, books in general, and that's what they'll be able to see. But you can also use those touch and feel books at that age, you know, just popping their little hand on it. You know, they might not totally be engaged in the way an older child will be, but just again opening their kind of senses to different textures, and so sort of maybe less about stories at that point, but you know, with looking at the visuals of the black and white images, you know, engaging with tactiles, etc., and then just your voice and you're talking about this, what's sort of going on the page. That's where the connection really is in the very little little babies.
Oh, it's so lovely. It reminds me of those like early newborn days where you...
So cute.
And it's quite nice at that stage as well, because there really is no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just be flicking through, and it's low energy exertion, isn't it? Compared to when they're older and you've got to dance around the living room while she's singing.
Oh, yeah.
It all gets a bit more intense.
There's also quite a lot of books that have like tummy time stuff. You know, get told to do tummy time quite a lot when the babies are small. So there's like books that open up in a kind of carousel and they sort of sit flat, and the baby can sit and look up and use their necks to kind of look up at it. So again, we have one at Ladybug, Baby Touch Tummy Time, but there are quite a few things like that that you can literally use it as an activity to do something else that you need to do with your baby at that age. So that's nice.
So useful. Louise, you've given us so many tips. We have been spoiled. But could you just finish us off with 3 top tips, if you can narrow it down to 3, which is probably hard when you're really passionate, but to get our little people reading, especially if parents are a bit, you know, a bit nervous or unsure how to get going?
Yes, of course. Yeah. So I would say just have some books around where the children are playing, so that they, you know, and to encourage them to read, you know, they may just pick it up and bring it over to you because they want to know what's inside, or they want you to show them. Sometimes if you're just sitting where they're playing and you're looking at the book, but you're not kind of reading it, they may come over to sort of join you. So that's kind of, again, no pressure. It's just kind of the books are around and there's a lovely way to sort of hopefully get some connection with the story. Books with flaps and mechanisms and touch and feel can just add that extra sensory level for kids of all ages, actually. And some have little stories and rhymes. Others are just very simple page, you know, one thing per page. But thinking of books in the same way that you might think of like baby toys, I suppose, and like that actually it's a good alternative to a toy or a screen, etc. They can kind of sit and feel and look through. And the last tip would be just take the pressure off. Like, we don't need, you know, as parents, we don't need another thing in our day to be trying to tick the box of like, we've done that. So just have the books around, but kids can flick through the book, you know, don't feel the pressure to read from cover to cover. And, you know, sometimes they will sit through a story, sometimes they won't. That's just what it's like, isn't it? So just embrace what it is in the minute and just, you know, enjoy the time, but use the books as a distraction and a fun thing to do.
Oh, Louise, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and tips and for all the wonderful work that you do as a publisher at Ladybird, allowing us to make lots of beautiful memories in our family homes with our babies and your Ladybird books. So thank you so much. And a big thank you from the Davis household for the 10 Minutes to Bed Little Dinosaur book.
Oh, a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Saving the day. Thank you so much, Louise. You take care. Lovely to chat to you.
Thank you.
Before you head off, I just need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my podcast have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favor? If you have ever enjoyed listening, and hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference and helps me to keep bringing you episodes. The bigger the podcast, the bigger the guests, and the more women we can reach and help. Thank you for subscribing, and I look forward to chatting again soon.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.